Battery is low. How could the battery possibly be low?
Mud Sander didn't come today. Mud Sander didn't come today.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, I want to get over. My biggest thing right now is JavaScript. Get ahead. I mean, jQuery, and then after that, I'll do my Python stuff right after that.
Okay, I gave you a new battery, foolish machine. You're supposed to respond.
Is it working?
Now it is. It wasn't for a while. No, I've put in a battery, so it should be happy now.
Machines tend to work well with a combination of new batteries and death threats.
Maybe it's because of maintenance.
Okay. We did back a while ago these problems, right? So we went in and we solved these by hand. Now we're going to look at the solution to these two problems with JavaScript. Okay, so the first one, I have a while solution to problem one. And it came up with the right answer of 4815. Okay. So, what I've got here is what we did when you were doing this. We said, okay, first num is equal to 100, second num is equal to 5, third num is equal to 12, and the result is equal to 0. Okay? And actually, I'm going to go back. And bring up the practice exercise. Yes. Okay. So there is the exercise, so we can see them both together. I said do while second num is less than or equal to third num. So that turned into while second num is less than or equal to third num with the condition going into parentheses. Then I need to, instead of an end while loop, I have curly braces that are telling the beginning of the code for the loop and the end for the code for the loop. So instead of having an end loop, I have an end curly brace. Okay? Then I had an if statement inside here. And so I code the if statement. If first num is greater than 500, if first num is greater than 500. And I put curly braces around what to do if it's true, because again, I'm not going to use an end if. I'm using curly braces in JavaScript to show me what to do if it's true, what to do if it's false. There's a whole set of languages that use curly braces. There's other languages that don't. We're going to look at Visual Basic next, and Visual Basic will have an end if. It will not have the curly braces. It will not use the curly braces. But if you take a class in C or Java or C++, etc., you'll see the curly braces. So the curly braces show up in a lot of languages. In other languages, they don't. So the curly braces are surrounding what I want to do, and I put those two in. And notice I ended them with semicolons because I end statements with semicolons when they're finished. I don't end the while with a semicolon or the if with a semicolon because they're not done. They're going to go on. And then I have the else, and I put its two statements inside curly braces. And so that bottom curly brace tells me the if is done. then I drop out and I say the result equals first num plus second num plus third num, and then I say document write the result. Okay, so that's the pseudocode, and that's the translation of that pseudocode into JavaScript. So if people were thinking that in the second JavaScript assignment, which is the assignment I've given you now, I've said I want you to do the problems, but I want you to flowchart them or pseudocode them, as well as do it in JavaScript. So I want you to think through the logic and then do it in JavaScript, okay? Which probably means that you'll do it in JavaScript and then think through the logic. But in fact, that's not the order that you should do it in, okay? So here I have the pseudocode, and here I've turned it into JavaScript. And so once I've got the logic worked out in the pseudocode, my problem is to put it in the syntax of the language. Okay, which means that the while condition is inside parentheses, the if is within parentheses, I have the curly braces, and all that going on. My display turns into a document write, because that's how I do it in JavaScript. So basically, I've got the plan in my pseudocode, I've worked out the logic, then I have to just implement it. Okay? Now, programs basically have three parts. They have housekeeping, they have processing, and they have wrap-up. Okay? In this one, I don't have any wrap-up because I'm not really explaining the total, although I guess maybe I can call that last part wrap-up. Okay? But basically, I've got my housekeeping up there at the top. Okay? I'm doing housekeeping. And then I'm doing processing, and then I'm doing wrap-up. Wrap-up is frequently writing out a final total. But maybe this indeed is the final total. So I can call this... Yeah, right. Didn't I do the magic thing? I guess I did. I think I went over and looked. Okay. Put that up. Do that. There we go. So... this is housekeeping. Okay, housekeeping. This is processing. And this might be called wrap up or wrapping things up. Okay? I could also make my argument about that being part of processing. So I don't have a real, I could have said, I'm going to make this whole thing processing and there's not going to be any wrap-up. Okay? Wrap-up is frequently writing out final totals. That's what it frequently is. And so this kind of makes sense to call it wrap-up. But what I frequently do is I get things set up. That's housekeeping. That's a one-time thing. Okay, so if I look at it, okay, here's my program, and it's got housekeeping, which is a one-time thing. It's got processing, and there's going to be a lot that happens under processing, and there's going to be wrap-up. And usually wrap-up and housekeeping are one-time things. Usually this involves a loop where I do something over and over again. And I do a lot of processing under there. And usually it involves, as I said, a loop. What I did in this one is I did some calculations. Okay, so the processing involved doing some calculations. Okay, now I'm going to go back and try to resurrect. Okay. And And I'm going to look at that same thing with a do while. So on this one, I did exactly the same thing, except I used a different kind of loop. Oops. Somewhere, I think I still have that, yes. This time, I used a different kind of loop. I used the do up at the top, and I put the while down at the bottom, so my condition went down at the bottom. Okay? And either of those worked just fine. But that's just an alternate way that I could have written it. I could have put the do up at the top, and that would mean it would definitely do it once. Well, I wanted to do it once, so that's not a problem. Okay? The problem would be is if, in this case, I have a second num that doesn't meet this criteria, then I would still do it once over there. Okay? So if I had put in a second num and a third num, such as I never entered the loop, over here with the do and the check at the bottom, I would still enter the loop. So I probably would have done this one with a while. But you can go either way on it. Okay. Now, the next one, we did the same thing. I've got the solution 2. And this is the same thing. Okay. Where I went in. And in this case, I've got my housekeeping that sets up all the stuff at the beginning. So there's my housekeeping, yep. And then I go to my processing, and then I go to my wrap-up. Okay. And on this one, I did a calculation. And then I asked my question. And at the end of my question, I've got another calculation. Okay, so you can see that this is the if statement. What I want to do if it's true, what I want to do if it's false. This is the loop. So right before I go back to check the loop again, I say count equals count plus 1. Okay, so on this one I came in, I did a calculation, I asked a question. When I resolved the question, I did one more calculation. Okay? And it's not going to let me bring that up. Until I close the Inclia. And now I can bring it up.
So you can see that again, I have the calculation. I have my if, and after the end if, I do the second calculation. Okay? And the closing curly brace on the if is after the end if.
Questions? Okay. So those are just two examples of using loops and using if statements kind of combined. Okay, so now I'm going to go back in and look at the examples under programs. And I believe we left off with final totals, and you were working on that. Okay, so I'm going to bring that up. Pardon me?
You're playing referee?
Yeah, right. So, we have this code, and here it is. So I'm going to take and copy that and put it in Notepad. And we're going to do what I asked you to do last class, which is, let's see, format, font,
We'll get it up to 16 and see if that's seeable. Can you see that? Back row? Or does it need to go higher?
Can you see okay?
That's fine. Is it okay? You can read it? Okay. All right, so what are we going to write in here? Somebody tell me what we should put here, because what I asked you to do was determine the winner. Okay, so what did we write? We have an if statement, and what are we going to put in the if statement? Ah, come on, some of you got this partially done, and some of you got it all done, yeah.
Okay, so we put, let me see, I just got to pull up my new source. For the first if statement, we have, oh, yeah, all this stuff to go away. It won't go away. All right, the first if statement is if player one total is greater than player two total, then open curly brace.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm not as fast as you are now. Okay, so I'm asking a question, and I'm asking if player one total is greater than player two total. Now, I have no, this didn't have to be your first question. It just, we have to come up with that. You could have asked if player one total equals player two total. You could have asked if player two total is greater than player one total. You could have asked it in a whole variety of ways. So I'm saying if player one total is greater than player two total, and if it is, I'm putting in curly braces, and inside those curly braces, I'm going to tell it what to do. So I want to do a document write here, right? And I'm going to say document write, and who won?
Player one.
Okay, so I'm going to put that in quotes and say player one is the winner or whatever I want to say. Okay, so I've now got that player one is the winner. Okay, so now I need to ask another question because there are three possibilities. There's the possibility that player one won, there's the possibility that player two won, and there's the possibility that it's a tie. And it doesn't matter what question I ask next, okay? I'm actually going to ask the tie question next, simply because I wanted to use the double equals. So I'm going to say else if... else, curly brace.
There you go.
Thank you. If player one total equals, and again, remember, I need to use the double equal sign when I'm doing comparison. A single equal sign is an assignment statement, and this is a comparison. So if player one total equals... player two total. Okay. So I'm checking to see if they're equal.
Question? Oh, player two total is type wrong in the first one. Player two. In the first one.
Oh, yep.
Yep. P-L-A-Y-E-R. Thank you. Okay. So now I'm going to put in the curly braces and I'm going to say... this is going to do a document write where I'm going to say, where is it? There we go. Tie. Okay, so I'm saying that I've got there that it's a tie. And then I can have an else. And I can simply declare that player two is the winner. Because I ruled out the fact that player one is the winner. I ruled out the fact that it's a tie. So the only possibility now is that player two won. so I don't have to ask another question. Just like, as I said, with heads and tails, you don't have to ask two questions. You only have to ask one. So if there's only three possibilities and I've asked two questions, then it's got to be the third. Okay? So I'm going to say here, player two is the winner. Oh, he's also a winter.
Trying to get rid of that.
Okay. Now, am I done?
No.
No, what do I need?
And the house. The what? And curly brace.
And curly brace that goes with the else, right. Okay. So, I have got those all done. Now, the alternative to this would have been... Yeah, right. The alternative to this... There's a reason why I don't do a lot of typing up here. All right. The alternative to this would have been to put make messages in all three places and say message, message, message. And now at the bottom here, right before I close the script, do the document write and put message in the parentheses. Yeah.
You want to put breaks in the...
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks. That's what I was
going to actually ask that. I was going to be like, does anyone see anything in the foreseeable future that could probably...
You know how often I actually do this and then say, oops, I forgot the breaks? Quite often.
Okay. Yeah.
So we want to... Well, actually, no. Wait a minute.
You want to...
Actually, the place I want the break, I can actually put it up here if I want to.
Yep.
But I need it at the beginning if I'm going to have it in here. Okay? So that I move down from what I did last. And I'm only going to do one of these. And I put the BR there in the wrong place. Did I manage to get it inside the quotes and the others? Yes. Okay, only going to write one of these, but the problem is that I just did a document right up here. And so it's going to follow right on that document right if I don't put a BR in. Okay, I could have just done a document right BR all by its little self, or I could have put a document right in that, a BR rather, in this third one and concatenated it with a BR up here. So that's the other way that I could have done it, so that I would skip down. Okay, now, does everybody guarantee me this is going to work? Actually, I think I'll put it on my flash drive. Okay, so this is who won? Spring15.html. Okay, so now I'm going to cross my fingers and bring it up. But you've all told me I did it right. At least it's always so nice to see that first pop-up,
yeah,
as opposed to the screen that's going to do me in. So I'll put in 12 and 15, and yes, I want to do it again, and I will put in 4 and 1, and no, I don't want to do it again. So I got a tie. Okay. So this code got me the tie because I put in the combinations that were going to get me a tie. Okay. And if I put in such that the others would win, come on, let's get out of the way here. Okay. So if I refresh this, and I put in 56 and 5,
and no, then I've got player one as the winner. Okay?
Let's try the other one.
Five and 56, and no, and player two is the winner. So, we managed to get them all working right. Okay? Questions? Okay, I'm looking at a math facts while loop.
Can I say one last thing?
Yep.
Those of you who are having trouble at all trying to write JavaScript, whatever, we kind of just did it the way we just did it on the board here. We just kind of went right down writing it as we were going along. If you want to do it little by little, you can. Instead of just like, oh, here's the if, then the else, then the if, then the else. Just do the if first, see if that works. If that works, cool. Then you go to the next thing. And then you see if that works. It's a lot easier sometimes when you're trying to debug or just trying to see how it's actually moving.
Well, and the other thing is, if you don't take his advice and do it that way, and you get the white screen of death, I frequently go back and take out a clump of code.
Yeah.
So that I have watered it down to what I should have done in the first place, which is test it as I went along.
And just cut it, paste into like another notepad or something, and
then that's the nice thing about script. In script, you can do that in a lot easier than if you're going through a lot of processing. So, here I have a math facts loop.
And I said start out variable, which is my control, started out at 1. And I want to continue while my control, which is count, is less than or equal to 3.
So I go in my processing, and I have said count answer equals count plus count. And then I'm writing out my math facts. Now, notice I've got count concatenated with inside quotes, I put a plus sign. That means I want to print a plus sign, and I want to print a space on either side of it. So if you look up there, you see 1 space plus space. That's what I've got. Concatenated with count again. Concatenated with the equal sign, with spaces around it, concatenated with answer, concatenated with a BR, so that I'll move down to the next line. And then I add 1 to my control, and I loop back. And as long as count is less than or equal to 3, I do it again. Now notice that I did my BR here with the slash, which is a way of doing it in XHTML, and I mean to go in and clean these up, but I don't. It works just fine. The browsers are more than happy to let you do that. It's just that that's not the way we would do it if we write it now, but I just don't catch it all the time. I would write it now this way. But back in XHTML, which was before HTML5, they insisted that you write the slash there because the BR didn't have an open BR and a closed BR like most things do. So they said, we'll fake it by putting a BR space slash in and pretend it's both an open and a close altogether. Dumb, but anyway. They saw the error of their ways, and that's no longer the way to do it. But it is still acceptable because a lot of people like me did it that way, and we don't want to have our stuff not work because we follow directions. So it is still acceptable, but it is not necessary. And I mean to go clean it up, but then I miss them here and there. Okay, questions. Okay, so now we're going to get a little more complicated. We're going to do a nested while loop. Yeah, right.
There you go.
Use source.
Now, what we've got here is a loop within a loop. So I've got a nested loop. So I've got two variables, one called count and one called count in, meaning the inner one. Okay, because I have two loops. And when I have two loops, they are referred to as the outer loop and the inner loop. And so I call the count in to indicate that's the one that I'm going to use in the inner loop. And I just called it count for the outer loop. And you can see that in my while, I'm testing count. And in this inner while, I'm testing count in. Okay. So what I've got is I've got count, and I've got count in. Now, I'm starting count out at 1. I didn't start count in out at anything, because there's a place where I need to do that. And so what I'm doing up here is just defining it. And as we go along, you'll see why I needed to wait. So I start my outer loop and I say, okay, while count is less than or equal to 3. Okay. And it is, so I go in. Then as soon as I get in, I establish count in as 1. And then I go and I look at the next statement, which is saying, while count in is less than or equal to 3. Okay, and look at the output this produces. I go 1 plus 1, 1 plus 2, 1 plus 3. 2 plus 1, 2 plus 2, 2 plus 3. 3 plus 1, 3 plus 2, 3 plus 3. And we'll see which number is which. When I print, count is the one I'm printing first. So that number that you can barely see is count. And this one is count in. Okay? But if you bring it up on your screen, you can see what, and run this on your screen, you can see that the 1 goes 3 times, then the 2 goes 3 times, and then the 3 goes 3 times in count. So I come in here and I say, okay, answer. And inside the loop, answer equals count plus count in. So answer is 2. Okay? Because count plus count in is 2. Then I say document write. And I write out 1 plus 1 equals 2. And you can see that on the top line over there. Now notice this time I didn't put spaces around the plus, so there's no spaces around it. And I didn't put spaces around the equals, so there's no spaces around it. It's probably more readable if you put the spaces around, but it doesn't matter. You can do it either way. So now I'm saying, okay, count in it while, this inner while, is controlled by count in. That's the control for this. The control on the outer one is count. What I want to do is I want to stay in the inner loop so that I will end up printing 1 plus 1, 1 plus 2, 1 plus 3. So I want to stay in the inner loop until I've maxed out count in. In other words, I've passed 3. So I add 1 to count in, and it's now a 2. So, then I loop back, and it says, is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I go in, and I add, and I come up with the 3, and I write out 1 plus 2 equals 3. Okay? And then I add 1 to count in, and I loop back. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I add count and count in to get answer, which is now a 4. Okay? And I say document write 1 plus 3 equals 4. And you can see that's the third line up there.
And then I add one to count in, and it's now a four. So when I go back, it checks here and says, no, count in is not less than or equal to three. So I'm done with that loop. So I come down here, and I say, okay, now add one to count. And then I say, okay, now go back to the outer loop and check. Is count less than or equal to three? Yes, it is. Notice what I do when I go inside that loop. I reset count in. And that's why that line had to be there. Because when I go back in, if I don't reset it, it would have been four and the inner loop would never be entered. So I have to reset it to one so that it will enter the inner loop. Okay, so if I hadn't done that, it would be four. Count in is not going to be less than or equal to three if it's four, and I would never go into the loop. Okay? So I reset it. I go in. Count in is less than or equal to three. I say answer equals count plus count in, so it's now up to a three. And I write out 2 + 1 = 3. Then I add one to count in. I go back up. Is count in, is 2 < 3? Yes, it is. So I go back in, I add, and this becomes a 4. And I write out 2 + 2 = 4. I add one to this. I loop back. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. 2 + 3 = 5, so answer is now 5. And I write out 2 + 3 = 5. I add one to count in, and I go back. But now count in is 4, and 4 is not less than or equal to 3. So what do? I drop out of the loop, and I add one here. So this becomes a 3. I go back, and I say, okay, is 3 less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. Reset count in to a 1 and go in. 3 + 1 = 4. So I write out 3 + 1 = 4. Add 1 to count in. It's now a 2. Go back. Is 2 less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I go in and I add, and I'm up to a 5, okay? And then what do? I write that out, and I add one to count in. So it's now up to a 3. I go back. Is 3 less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I go in. I add 3 + 3 to get 6. I add one to count in. It's a 4. So that means when I go back, count in is no longer less than or equal to 3. So I come down and I add one. I add one to count. So I add one to count. I go back and I check. Is count less than or equal to 3? No, it's a 4. So I'm out of that too. So at that point, I drop down and I write the end of the math box. And say thank you for me making the test 3, as opposed to 10. Okay? So, questions. Does that make sense?
Could everyone write a while loop now after this? Like a nested while loop? Maybe. Slowly.
Well, you have my model.
Yeah, well.
So, do you understand what happened? I've got two numbers that are changing. And what I do is I decide one of them is going to be kind of my major number and one of them is going to be the minor number. And so the major number stays 1 while I run through every possibility of this minor or inner number. And then the major goes up, and I run through every possibility again. And then the major number changes, and I run through every possibility again. Okay?
And the wonderful part about this is you can set it to 1,000, and the computer will happily do it. And do it right. If it can do it right once, it can keep doing it right. Questions?
Can I have a suggestion, just on a random note? When looking at this, what I like to do is, when I first was freaking out about this, is I kind of looked on the outside loop, and I got rid of the inside loop. I didn't even look at it, and I was just trying to see how that processed. So you got the count is less than or equal to 3. And then this thing here, this count in equals 1, that's part of that. I mean, that's part of the inner loop a little bit. That's, you know, don't worry about that. Then you've got count equals count plus 1, go back up. So you can see that outside 1 working. You gotta go over 3 times, and you're done. Then you add that little inner loop to kind of do the processing. That's going to pop up over here. And it's going to do it 3 times inside each step. So kind of like think like that. This guy initializes this. This sets it every time you go through. Because pretend you didn't have this count in. What would happen? You'd go through this 3 times. You go back. And on the second time, it's at 4. Just ignore it. Like nothing would happen. And it would just go 1, 2, 3, you're done. And, you know, actually, would it do 1, 2, 3? Yeah, that would be it, right? It wouldn't be any, like, 2, 3. No. So that would be it. So kind of take a look at this. You make sure when you have a loop, you have your initializer. You got, like, the first part you declare. Like, and you reset it. You reset each time you go through the loop. So that's how I kind of looked at it. If that's any help to you guys.
It's a matter of when I go back to the loop, I'm hitting this on the drop down. So I'm dropping down. I'm hitting this on the drop down. And when I drop down, okay, when I drop down, I hit this and I reset it. If I just go back to the loop, I don't hit that. But when I'm up in the outer loop and I drop down, I hit that.
Really?
And so it gets reset. When I drop down from the outer loop to the inner loop, I end up resetting it.
It's like, pretend you're playing a deck of cards, you have 3 games, you know, these rounds inside there, you know, and it starts these rounds, restart it again, back to 0, or back to 1 in this case.
Okay, and now we need to close the implant. They're fine. Now I'm going to look at the next one, which is a do while. But we're only going to look at these briefly because they do exactly the same thing. Okay? So this time I've got a do while, and this is a situation where I'm controlling by count, and as long as count starts out at 1, it doesn't matter whether I check at the bottom or at the top. This will get me exactly the same results. So that's just showing it to you in a do while. Okay, and it gets exactly the same results. And then I've got a nested do while, and that also gets exactly the same results. I think a while is cleaner to understand, but the do while simply means that at the bottom of this inner loop, I'm throwing in the while that controls it. And at the bottom of this inner loop, outer loop, I'm throwing in the while that controls it. So it really is a matter of choice which one you want to do. When I'm giving that choice, I always pick the while. I just think it's a cleaner look. The only time I use the do while is when I basically think I gotta do it once. For whatever reason, I got to do it once. And then I go to the do while. The next one is a for loop. And we're kind of looking, I think, at the for loop for the first time. A for loop is kind of neat in that it does everything inside the for.
Remember I said there are three things that you have to do in a loop? You have to set.
Sometimes it thinks it's okay for me to write, other times not so much.
Okay, so here is where I am setting. And in this case, my control is I. I don't know why I do that.
Everybody does that, though. I tends to be the thing that people use when they use a for loop. For I. It just happens. I could have used for count, and it would have worked just fine. But habit is hard to break, and so I tend to use for I. I stands for index. And so it's saying this is the index or the pointer. And people tend to use I. So here I'm setting I. Here I'm checking I. And here I'm changing I. So I do them all right there within the for loop. I say I is going to start at 1. Do this while I is less than or equal to 3. And every pass through, add 1 to I. So notice there is no I equals I plus 1 inside the loop because it's being handled up there. And if I actually put an I equals I plus 1 inside the loop, I'm going to end up going 1, 3, 5 because it's going to add to I twice. So I'm going to say 1, 3, 5 as opposed to 1, 2, 3. Actually, I'm not going to say 1, 3, 5. I'm going to say 1, 3 since I'm stopping at 3. So this is a for loop, and it's just an alternate kind of loop that you can use in programming. People use it a lot when they're counting. It's not as good for other things. It's better for counting.
I just wanted to point out, too, I brought it up. This thing is brought up, like, also set up, like, the set, check, and changing, the name changes. You're going to hear it, too, later. The initializer, right on the front, the condition is in the middle, and the incrementer or decrementer, depending on your situation, is at the end.
He likes that one better.
I do.
He always fixes it for you.
I like that.
I like set, checking, and changing.
You'll hear it.
You'll hear them all.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Moving on. I know. But now they got it. Okay. So on this one, I am having embedded for loops.
And it's the same thing. I've got I and I decided to use J the next time. So I've got I and J. And I really should have written variable J, but since this works, you'll notice that Microsoft said, they must need a J, so they made a J for me.
Okay? But it would have been nicer if I'd written variable J, but as I said, they fixed it for me. So I now have I and J, and I've got exactly the same thing going on. I wrote it two different ways up here, one with spaces in between the parts and one without spaces, just to show you that it doesn't matter which way you do it. So this is just the other loop. Instead of a where, I can use a for loop and say, okay, start I out at 1, then come in and start J out at 1. Now, the nice part about this is every time I loop back, it will just increment J. But when I hit it on a drop-down, okay, so when I loop back, J will keep increasing. There we go. When I loop back, J changes. When I drop down from the outer loop to the inner loop, J resets. J is reset. So in other words, when I loop back and just keep going through this, it keeps adding j equals j plus 1. But when I drop down and I hit it from the top, then it restarts the for loop and j gets set to 1. Okay, and that's an important thing to notice. When I was doing the while loop, I was more in control, so I had that line in there that said count in equals 1, and I reset it. Here, the reset is automatic, and so you have to know the rules. When they're looping, they change. When they hit it on a drop down, they reset. Okay? Questions? Okay. The next thing I'm going to look at is we're going to skip over a couple of things, and we're going to go to the guest numbers. We'll look at arrays when we get back from break. So I'm dropping down to the guess number, and I'm looking at the one that says one guess. Okay? Now, I wanted to be able to control the playing of the game. So I'm guessing a number. I cheated and I told what the number was. Okay? So the number up there says 4. So that is the number. So if I guess 3... it is coming back and saying your guess is too low. Now, we really don't have a game going on here yet, but we're going to build it up as we go. So what I've got here is I get one guess, and I either get it or I don't get it, okay? And then we're going to add in the stuff that will give me a loop so that I get more than one guess, but this does not have a loop. Okay. So first of all, if I am playing a guessing game, I have to have a number to guess. And I want it to be a random number. Every language has the ability to generate a random number. And basically, we copy and paste the formula they give us. Okay? So my random number equals math 4, math random 5, 1, etc. The key thing that you have to know is this 5 there is my max. So I'm saying guess a number between 1 and 5. If I wanted to guess a number between 1 and 25, I would change that to a 25. If I wanted to go from 1 to 100, I'd change that to 100. So that's going to give me my maximum number. Now, when the maximum number gets generated, it starts with 0. And I don't want 0, so that's why I have the plus 1 out there, so that I will start with 1. It actually starts with a decimal, so that I will have a 1. So math random generates the random number. And math floor makes it a whole number. Okay, because I said they come up with a decimal number, and I want a whole number. So I am generating a random number between 1 and 5. And as I said, this is the kind of thing that you copy and paste. And if you want it to be 50, you put in a 50 there. If you want it to be 30 as a max, you put in a 30 there. Okay, so then I did the document write the random number because I wanted to know what it was because I wanted to be able to control things. Okay, I'm a control freak. So I wanted to see the random number up there as the number. So it chose a 4. And then I wrote a blank line. And then I put up the prompt. And I turned the prompt into an integer. Whatever they put in, I turned into an integer. And I stored that as my guess. So now I have two things. I have the random number, and I have my guess. So now I'm asking the question. if the random number equals my guess, do a document right that says you got it. Else, if my random if the random number is greater than my guess, do a document right that says your guess is too low. Otherwise, do a document right that says your guess is too high. So I'm asking the question here, does the random equal my guess? And if the answer is yes, then I am putting out, you got it. If not, I'm asking, is the random greater than my guess? And if it is, I'm putting out the message that says low. Otherwise, I'm putting out the message that says high. So that's my logic. And it's like the last one that we were looking at where we were trying to guess the winner. There were only three choices. Okay, you either got it, or you guessed too high, or you guessed too low. Okay, there were only three choices, so I only have to ask two questions. Okay, so now that's not much fun. So we're going to go back and we're going to look at the next level of this where we're going to put in a loop so that we can do it until they get the right answer. So this time the random number is a 5. I'm putting in a 3. Your guess is too low. I'm putting in a 1. Your guess is too low. I don't catch on fast. I'm putting in a 5 and I got it. Okay? And if I play this again, it gave me 5 again. That's not what I'm looking for. Okay, can we get a different number here? Why are we getting 5 over and over and over again? There's a 3. Thank you. Okay, so now with a 3, I can guess 4, and it tells me too high. I can guess 2, and it tells me too low. I guess 3, and it tells me I got it. Okay, so I get to do this. And showing the random number also gives me an advantage when I'm testing. Because if I'm testing to see if the program is right, I got to know what the random number is that the computer picked so I know whether I got it right or not. Okay? And I can then take it out when I want to make it into a real game. Okay, so now what I've got is I have put in a loop. Now this one I decided to use the do while because I want them to do it once. I absolutely want them to do it once. If you clicked on play my game, you're going to do it once whether you want to or not. Okay, so I want them to do it once. So notice I generated the random number outside the loop. Reason is, I do not want it to regenerate. Think of the game. You play, and every time you play, it comes up with a new random number. Okay, you're never going to get it, or you will eventually by accident, but if it generates a new number every time you do a guess, then the too high or too low from a minute ago doesn't mean anything, because it's generating a new random number. So I now put in a do, and I did a do, and my condition that I did with it is while the random number is not equal. Exclamation point equal means not equal. Okay? And I'm smart enough, finally I learn to come over and click this before I try to write. I will forget again, but anyway. So this is saying not equal. Okay, so I want to do it while it is not equal. Okay. So that's what I'm adding, yeah.
The plus
and the variable number, wouldn't that concatenate it?
So where am I?
Render the text slash JavaScript.
No, because I'm not doing a document right. It knows it's a plus there. And you're right. But usually, okay, if I am using a number itself as opposed to a variable name, it being JavaScript, figures out that I want it to be an and. Okay? The problem runs in when you use a variable. And in fact, actually, if you say answer equals a variable name like num, answer equals num plus 5, most browsers will then determine that that's an and, because you've got one number there, and they'll make the decision that it's an and. Most browsers will. It's still safer to go the other way, maybe, but I think most browsers do it all right. So if there is a number, it's usually okay. In other words, what we're doing is the browser's determining whether it's going to do an add or a concatenate. And there are certain kind of twists that it takes. And one of it is if it sees a number, it tends to lean toward an add. Okay? But that's a good point. Okay, so I just went in and all I did was add the do loop. Everything else is the same. I just went in and added the do loop and put everything having to do with my guess inside the do loop. I kept the document write VR inside the loop so that every time I loop back, I move down a line. So my answer goes out on another line. I could have gotten rid of that and put the BR in my document rights down below. But that just seemed like a good place to keep it. So now I can play a whole game. Okay, I've got a game. Now I want to make it so that the user can decide whether or not they want to play again. So I've got multiple games. So I'm now, the number is 3. I'm putting in 5, too high, 3, I got it. And notice when it says you got it, it comes up and says, do you want to play again, yes or no? So it's asking the user to decide. So now I'm going to have two loops going on. Do you want to play again? Yes. And now it is coming up with the number 2, and I'm going to guess 1, and I'm going to guess 4, and I'll finally guess 2. And do you want to play again? Yes. It comes up with the number 2 again. And now I'm saying no, and so I'm out of here. Okay, so now I've got two loops going on, and I made them both do whiles. My inner loop is the loop I'd already put in. Yeah, right. What did I say about being smart enough to click before I went over? Yeah, right. Okay, there we go. I remembered once. Okay. So that goes with that. And then this while goes with the outer loop. So the inner loop is a game. Inner is a game. The outer lets me play again, allows multiple games. And it gives, the user has control. User's in charge. So, once I finish the game, because I said do this while the random number is not equal to my guess, once I finish the game, I put up that prompt. do you want to play again, Y or M? And then I skipped down a space, because I decided to put the skip there for some reason. And then I said, while play again is not equal to no. Okay? So basically, what am I doing there? I'm saying, while play again is not equal to no. So if they hit anything other than a no, they're going to play again. Okay? Now, I had a choice there. I could have said, while play again equals Y. And what I have to do is decide what I want to do if they hit any random key. And I decided that if they hit any random key, I was going to make them play again. Okay? But I could have made the other decision and said, do while play again equals Y. Okay? So I get to make the choice there, and I also get to make the choice of what happens if they hit the wrong key. And again, we haven't gotten into uppercase yet and that sort of thing. We're going to look at that the day after vacation as well. Okay? Questions? Okay, so this is, I added one loop for a game, and then I added another loop to give me control. Now, there are three things that I can do when I'm inside a loop to determine whether to get out or not. Okay, I can say, I can have something like a count. And I can have a while count is less than or equal to 3, which is what I had on one of the things that I did. I can have a tote, a total amount, let's say, and I can say while, that's not spelled right, white, okay, while tote is less than or equal to 1,000, for example. So I want to accumulate a total, and I want to do it until the total hit passes 1,000. So I want to stay in here while tote equals 1,000. Or I can have the user put something in, and I can have a while user equals Y, or user not equal to N, or whatever I want to have. But I've got three possibilities. I can count how many times I can do it. I can use a figure. I'm gathering a total. I've done a calculation, whatever. But I can use that number. Or I can let the user have the control. Okay, so I can use a number, I can use a count, I can say do it 5 times. Or I can say do it until the amount is greater than 500. Or I can say do it until the user decides they don't want to do it anymore. Okay, so those are my three examples there. Okay, so for our homework this time, okay, first of all, there's a quiz. It's usually I have the quizzes in 3 days, but basically a break is coming up. So the quiz is due the Thursday after break, so you have plenty of time to do it. And there's 20 true-false type, multiple-choice type questions. And there is an extra credit. Okay, there is a PowerPoint out there, and that PowerPoint goes through some of the basics where I draw the flowchart, okay? And I'm asking, going to ask you on the homework to draw a flowchart or do a pseudocode. So here I drew the flowchart, and I said start, set up the variables, okay?
And I didn't list all the variables, I just said set them up. And then I said, okay, if your birth is greater than 1980 and marital status equals M, meet the criteria. And I really should have put in my Y and N there, but I didn't. But again, hopefully you have now figured out that I always put Y over on the right and no over on the left. If I get a no to any one of those, I put out does not meet criteria. And then I've got all done. Okay, so in this one, I would say that this is housekeeping, where I'm setting up my variables, because it's a one-time thing. This is processing. And all done is my wrap-up. Because I'm all done, it's only a one-time thing that I'm going to put out. Okay. And if you look down here, I have the code that goes with that. So then I did the code that goes with that program. Okay, so there's the code that goes with it. And actually, we've already looked at this. But that's the code that goes with it. You could have written it separately with separate if statements. I made it a compound. It's up to you. I could have done it with separate if statements. Then I did one with an or, and I did the flowchart. No, actually, this is the same one. I think this is the or. Okay, so state equals Massachusetts, you live in the state. State equals Rhode Island, you live in the state. No, then you do not live in Massachusetts or Rhode Island. And if I look at the code, there it is. And then I did one where something has to be true. So in this case, year birth has to be greater than 1980. If it's not, I'm done. If it is greater than 1980, then one of those two has to be true in order to meet the criteria. Okay? And I coded that on the next one like that. If your birth is greater than 1980 and either, so I put in the parenthesis, marital status equals M or gender equals F. And then on the last one, I wrote that out in individual ones, so you can go through and see them all individually, where I said, if your birth greater than 1980, if it is, I do all this stuff, else I just go out. If it is greater than 1980, I ask about marital status. If it is, I write, else I go to the else where I check on gender F. Okay, so that is the way to write out the same problem using individual ifs and using compound ifs. And I would suggest you look at those if you want some help. The last page of this has three problems to do. Okay, and I think it says it's got to be by all students, but I didn't go back and change that. It's extra credit. So if you do those three, that's extra credit. Okay, so that's an extra credit assignment. And then your assignment is here, where I'm asking you to write out these problems. Okay, so on the first one, I asked you to take the problem that was the first of those nine problems. So if you've got the first one wrong, and you and I are going back and forth, you now have to find out the answer if you write this. Okay, because it's going to come up with the answer. Okay. Then we go back and I've got four more problems to do. The first one, I want you to count the number of scores. I want you to do five scores. The second one, I want you to count until you have a total that is greater than 500. And on the third one, I want you to redo it so that the user decides when to quit.
So those are the three ways that I mentioned a few minutes ago, and I want you to write this program three ways. And then there's another program after it. So that's your homework. It is due the Thursday after vacation. Okay, there is no homework except getting caught up over vacation. However, and I'm very serious when I say you gotta really work if you're behind this vacation, because if you don't get yourself caught up, it's gonna be real hard to pull it out. Okay, so if, you know, the school very nicely gives you catch-up week, and they make the mistake of calling it vacation, okay, but it really isn't, it's catch-up week, so please get caught up. Okay. All righty, we're done.